as you stand outside the car park, look towards numbers 28 and 32 opposite you. This is exactly what the buildings that used to stand on this side of Hanbury Street would have looked like in the 1880s. The house where Jack the Ripper's second victim, Annie Chapman, was murdered, no longer stands, but it would have looked similar to the houses you see across the street, such as numbers 28 and 32. Notice the two doors on each shop front. One of those would have been a door leading upstairs to accommodation. The other would have been a door that was left open at all times, and behind it was a pathway that led behind the house and into the communal courtyard. These doors were always kept open for what's known as soil men, who would come here to collect buckets that had been left in the gardens. These buckets, used at a time before indoor plumbing, held human waste, and as horrible as the job of collecting these buckets might sound, it was quite a lucrative job. Urine could be sold onto leather makers who used it on their animal hides, and the soil, as it was called, was sold onto farmers. A small space off the street that offered a little privacy through a door that was always kept open made the back gardens of Hanbury Street a popular location for prostitutes to take their clients, and Annie Chapman was one such woman. Annie was in bad shape. She had tuberculosis, and unknown to her, she was dying. Despite the fact she was so ill, Annie was a tough lady. So were all of Jack the Ripper's victims. These weren't delicate wallflowers. These girls got into physical altercations constantly, fighting with Johns or other women. The constant state of drunkenness most of them lived in contributed to the volatile behavior and violent scenes that were all too commonplace among those who were living on these streets. In fact, Annie had recently been in a fight, just a week beforehand, with another prostitute called Eliza Cooper over a bar of soap she had borrowed. Annie suffered severe bruising to her chest and lost all of her bottom teeth in this confrontation. Eliza ended up in hospital. So Annie was not having a great time. She was ill, hurt, and tired. She turned up to a regular Doss house around 5:10 in the morning on the 8th of September without the money to pay for her night's stay. She begged and pleaded with the owner to let her stay, and even promised to pay him double the next day if he allowed her to come in until the sun came up. Her pleas fell on deaf ears. She had no choice but to go back out onto the streets and try to earn that crucial 4 pence. Shortly after, Annie was spotted talking to a man outside the front of 29 Hanbury Street. He was described as 5'7" or 8", late 20s or early 30s, white male with a mustache. He was said to have been wearing a deerstalker hat and a long, dusty black overcoat. He had his hand on Annie's chest and reportedly said, quote, "Will you?" To which she replied, quote, "I will." They then headed straight through the garden entrance into the back courtyard. Annie would never come out. At approximately 5:20 a.m., a man called Albert Kadosh came downstairs to use the facilities in his back garden next door, separated from the garden Annie had gone into by a small fence that stood only around 5'6" tall. Albert claimed he heard a woman shout the word, "No," and a sound like something falling against the fence. But in Whitechapel, early in the morning, with drunk and violent people wandering the streets, none of this was unusual. In fact, Albert never even bothered to look over that 5'6" fence. Had he? Perhaps he would have seen and then been able to identify Jack the Ripper himself and prevent the rest of the murders that were to come, a decision Albert regretted for the rest of his life. At 5:40 a.m., John Davis, a man living above 29 Hanbury Street, came downstairs and into the back courtyard where he discovered the body of Annie Chapman. She was slumped against the fence with her throat slashed and her body cut open from her groin to her chest, nearly cut into two. Her intestines had been pulled out and slung over her shoulder, and later it be discovered that part of her bowel and her entire uterus were both missing. This crime scene was different from the other Jack the Ripper murder scenes in a very odd way. The murderer had taken Annie Chapman's belongings and laid them all out next to her body, a piece of muslin, a wooden comb, and a scrap of paper envelope containing two pills that she had been taking for her tuberculosis. When her body was identified by her friends, it was commented that she always wore 3 copper or imitation gold rings on her fingers. These were never found. Continue down Hanbury Street and turn left onto Wilkes Street. Take the second left onto Fournier Street, lined with original 18th century homes, giving you an idea of how the buildings in this neighborhood appeared in the 1880s. Take a right onto Brick Lane and walk down. Stop when you get to the junction with Thrall Street and you see the Shad restaurant. To get a good view, stand underneath the decorative archway that spans the road and look back at the Shad restaurant. Play the next clip as you walk.